Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis with another video here, and I just got back from Vegas. Sam's with me to help me get through this one. While I was on the plane, it became clear that ESCA, my old friends, for reasons that I'm going to get into in this video, had been hacked, and 1.5 million player records had been leaked onto the internet, primarily as it stands at Leaked Source, which is a website that hosts hacked database information, and you can pop your email in or some other identifying information and see what databases you're on. Obviously, this has been used for nefarious purposes, and that's why it's very dangerous when any database, any data breach like this happens, but they happen a lot. They happen very frequently. So I'm going to get into just a few interesting facts and figures just before we go into the specifics of it. First of all, in regards to data breaches in America, they are becoming increasingly frequent. One report had them as having 43% of companies had a data breach in 2014. And this is only likely to go up as hackers become more and more sophisticated. Certainly the gap between responding and having things in place to prevent these breaches and the hacker's level of sophistication and ability to infiltrate is certainly still pretty wide. And I think we know from this election cycle, you know, when it was just recently revealed that John Podesta, certainly meant to be an intelligent man, Sam, meant to be a clever guy, he actually got scammed with a phishing link that said, "Hey, we're from your email company, Gmail," I think it was. "And we need you to put your name and password in," even though, of course, every company will tell you, "We will never ask for your password." And, you know, I imagine John Podesta is still waiting on some gold bullion to be sent to him from a Nigerian prince as well, you know. But it just goes to show these things do happen. Now, I've got to say, I'm not particularly happy with the way ESCA have handled things because, as we know, they've already got into stuff in the past. But let's break down the facts as to what happened. Now, I was going to hopefully do a video and put some information out because I got a few security people got in touch with me, a few players got in touch with me to tell me what had really gone on. But unfortunately, with traveling back from Vegas because I was out there for CES, I didn't get there in time. So I must credit CSOonline.com as the source of the story. And basically, they confirmed to the public what I'd been told, which was this was actually an extortion attempt, that the ESCA database was compromised by a hacker who then wanted $50,000 in payment to show them where the vulnerabilities were. So this has been confirmed now by multiple players, people on Twitch. I think for some reason threads were getting deleted on on the CS subreddit. I don't know why that was the case. Social media is invaluable in situations like this, and you should be allowing it to be shared. So this is 1.5 million, exactly 1,503,707 ESCA records. So if you've signed up to ESCA, chances are you're compromised. You got compromised, didn't you, Sam?
Yep, I checked myself on Leak Source. I think I am on there.
And same here, and I haven't played ESCA. I don't even think I've ever played ESCA. I had an account over there because I used to do some commentary, some shoutcasting for the league, and I think I had to for that. I can't remember why I signed up. It might have been for the forums. I don't know. But this is what is on there. This is what people can find on Leaked Source. They can get your registration date on the website, not particularly important. What city you are from, what city you put down, what state or province you put down, the date of your last login, obviously the username, your real name. So there'll be some players out there who certainly won't want their real names to ever be released into the public because of the way you know, they conduct themselves, and they like hiding behind an alias. That's obviously a cause of concern for those people. Your email address, your date of birth, the zip code for any address you put in, a phone number, which is, again, a potential nuisance, the website URL, so you can put a website in, a Steam ID, an Xbox ID, and a PlayStation Network ID. So all of those aren't too bad. That's not the worst breach ever in history. They do say that the passwords weren't available because they were assaulted and hashed or whichever one it is, or both. I don't know. But basically, your password hasn't been compromised. But I would strongly advise that you change it anyway if you have an ESCA record. But what the information that they've got here, this is the stuff you would need for other forms of social engineering. You know, with this, you might be able to guess people's email account, you know, security questions. You might be able to, you know, sign up to something to get more information, and you might need to put some stuff in, like a phone number or, you know, a name or a date of birth, and you can gain access to more information that way. So it's not that it's entirely benign. This has certainly got the potential to be a risk for anybody that is in that 1.5 million number. Now, this is where I start to get a little bit pissed off, because the ESCA learned of the incident on December the 27th. And it's only really just coming to light now the extent of what's been compromised. They finally put a statement out today, which is reported on the CSOonline.com website. And it's actually come from ESL Gaming, who are now the parent company for ESCA. And they said that the hacker did attempt to extort money. They're saying it was substantially higher than $50,000 previously mentioned. I guess they would have to say that. I guess we won't know one way or the other unless the hacker comes out and says something. They also confirm that the user count is 1.5 million, but did stress that passwords were hashed with bcrypt. And they say, we take the security integrity of customer details very seriously, and we're doing everything in our power to investigate this incident, establish precisely what has been taken, and make changes to our systems to mitigate any further breaches. The authorities, the FBI in this case, were also informed, and we will do everything possible to facilitate the investigation of this attack. Now, that's not going to fix you up in the short term. And I've got to say that the way they've tried to obfuscate what was going on, that once again, ESCA have been caught doing something wrong. And you're going to say, well, Richard, how can you say that? Let me finish. In the form of not properly securing your data, which is a data handler's obligation. And then certainly, when breached, they have to tell you as expediently as possible. This is just basic stuff. This is what you would expect from any company. The fact that they knew about it for as long as they have, didn't go public straight away. They just said like 3 days later, on the 30th of December, we've had a little bit of a brouhaha. Can you please change your password? And there's some stuff they ain't telling you. Because the website itself, I don't know if you saw this, Sam, but everyone's karma got changed to 1337, which of course is leet speak, you know, for leet means you are elite. Did that just happen by coincidence then? It must have, right? Because what they're saying is, oh, it's just a database breach. There's nothing linked here. They weren't even going to tell people that someone was trying to extort them. And that this is why this happened. So I'm very saddened that a company that really should be trying to rebuild trust is actually lying to its user base. It certainly hasn't given people enough opportunity, in my opinion, to really react and understand the extent of the problem. Advising people to change a password when you're telling us the password hasn't been compromised, it's not good enough, is it? I mean, you know, you need to tell me that my phone number is now in the hands of anybody that might have a beef with me and might want to harass me, or, you know, my date of birth is in the hands of people that might want to socially engineer access into my emails. I definitely need to know these things so I can protect myself against the worst possible outcome. Now, oh, Richard, you're being a bit hard on them. Why don't you hate the hacker and you know, not ESEA? Well, look, hackers are going to do this. This is what hackers do. I'm not saying I approve of it or condone it. Certainly don't. But ultimately, it is a data handler's responsibility to, A, firstly and foremost, prevent the breach. And secondly, if there is a breach, to inform the public and be completely transparent so your data, your information isn't as widely compromised. You can protect yourself against unfavorable outcomes. Now, they put out a Q&A on the ESEA website to try and explain the situation and make people not as stressed out about it. And it talks in very vague terms. You know, it's very, they're not as specific as I'd like. Says what has happened. Well, on Tuesday 27th, we were made aware of a security breach of an ESEA website database, and the theft of certain user account information appears to have taken place. There's no appears about it. It definitely happened. When did the actual breach take place? We were informed about the breach on December 27th. As part of our investigation, we are looking into the exact timing of the breach. So when they say we are informed, you know what they mean, Sam. The hacker contacted
us. Yeah.
Yeah. Not we figured it out through routine checks. Not our systems are so robust. We knew something was wrong. Nah, the blackmailer got in touch with us. And that's when we knew we'd been fucked.
Yeah, when he asked nice, for some money.
That's nice, isn't it, though? Because, I mean, we have no idea when this actually happened. You know, the time frames are still completely fuzzy. When and how were you made aware of it? An unknown individual reached out to ESEA with information about the breach, and we confirmed that secure data has been breached. What does it mean that passwords and secret questions answers are hashed? All ESEA user account passwords are hashed using bcrypt, an industry best practice for securing passwords, and cannot be used together with the usernames as long as hashed. How many customers are affected and in what way? We know that number. It's 1.5 million. And it says the information includes usernames, emails, private messages. So, I mean, this is a little bit more extensive on here. So all your private messages on ESEA have been got, apparently. Your IP address has been got, apparently. You know, they can alter. I mean, it says here forum posts. What does that mean? Like, can they go back retroactively and edit your forum posts? That's alarming in and of itself and can be used for, you know, various nefarious purposes. What are customers required to do? Change your password and security question and answers, which definitely haven't been compromised, for any other accounts on which you use the same or similar information, and review any such accounts for any suspicious activity. Additionally, be cautious of any unsolicited communications that ask you for personal information or refer you to a website asking for personal information. In other words, there's going to be a spate of phishing attempts off the back of this. And then it says here, this part, I'll skip that next question. When and how did you inform your customers? Because it's like we notified our customers as soon as possible, given the time required to investigate the event and assure system security. Since learning about the intrusion, we have identified and secured the cause of the breach. So whatever. And then it says, how could the data be stolen and what measures have you taken since? To be clear, we have worked to identify the source of the vulnerability and have taken the appropriate measures to patch it. Once users have completed the password and information change procedures outlined above, users should feel confident in the ongoing security of their data on ESEA systems. We apologize for the incident that has taken place, as it is our responsibility to do everything possible to secure the data of our users. We will continue to look with both our developers and independent security experts to improve our security and invest in strengthening ESEA's infrastructure going forward. Sounds to me like, yeah, we actually really fucked up here. And they know, for reasons I'm about to get into, why this is potentially a big deal. It tells you they're definitely communicating with the authorities. Is there any risk it can happen again? No one can ever offer any guarantees. Reassuring. And there you go. So, you may remember, some of you won't, because obviously Counter-Strike's undergone huge growth. People come to this channel for a wide variety of reasons, and not just Counter-Strike and esports stuff these days. There was an incident. It was, let me get the exact date here. It was 2013, I believe, April the 14th. What happened was ESCA, back when they were run by a chap called LP Kane, who is an, you know, nouveau riche property owner who basically ran the company like his own personal plaything, didn't really treat the consumers particularly great, and was just an all-round piece of shit, ultimately. He, you know, a very irredeemable person. He came up with this idea that wouldn't it be great if our client, which you have to log into, while dormant, used your machine to mine for bitcoins? And you can't believe it, can you? That they sat around, thought about this, and then implemented it. And it didn't take long to discover it. People started to say, hey, ever since I've been using the SEA client recently, you know, my computer's blue screening, it's getting very hot, you know. I don't know what's going on. Is there some sort of problem with it? Have you done an update recently? And then what happened was, on the forums, somebody figured out what it was. They decompiled it and saw this line of code, which basically turned it into a Bitcoin miner. And that's why everybody was having all of these complaints. Now, I was the first journalist to pick up the story from the forum and put it out into the public domain and write about it and contract mainstream media, and it blew up. And, you know, at the time, ESCA still tried to double down on that. Oh, it wasn't a big deal. I wrote this article about it here. You'll have to excuse the formatting, but you can go out and read about it for yourself in depth. Unfortunately, the esports heaven database, it cut out all the pictures and formatting and everything else when we moved it over. But that's me there in 2013 writing about it. And just absolutely insane. They tried to play it off that, oh, it was a joke. We were going to do it for April Fools, and then it accidentally got in. And then when they realized this isn't going to go away, and all the lies that you're telling are going to come back on you because what you've done is the most grotesque breach of consumer confidence I have seen in esports, they then all of a sudden decided to, unfortunately, throw their coder Jaguar under the bus. They said, like, oh, he was a... this is Sean Hunkzak, his name is. This was a rogue employee. He did it without our knowledge or coercion, even though LP Kane was on the forums joking about it months before it happened. So it was clearly his idea, or at least he had a lot of input in it. And then that was that. They threw him. He was the sacrificial lamb. Now, when it went to court, naturally, the court said that you've got to settle this is ridiculous. They had to settle with people whose equipment had been broken. They had to pay a fine, and a large part of this fine was deferred, provided that they didn't breach any more of the Computer Fraud Act, the CFA, and there was some other code they had to adhere to. It's in here, actually. I've got the original court documents. It's what you'd expect from a court document. You can see here, dated November 19th, 2013. It's not easy reading. I won't lie to you, but it outlines what happened, why it had governmental jurisdiction. And if you scroll right to the end, in the part where it talks about the penalties and everything else, basically it says, you know, this will be deferred, provided you don't violate the CFA or the CROA. And that's that. And they have got this huge outstanding fine hovering over their head. Now, I don't think what's happened here would fall under a breach of either of these things. I don't think there was anything specific in the compliance regulations by this court ruling that makes them have to, you know, protect your data. And it's the fact that all companies have the responsibility to protect your data, and failure to protect data in a non-malicious fashion, unless it can be proven they've been complicit or criminally inept. I don't think these two things are going to tie together. But here's what I will say. ESEA are just a disgraceful company when it comes to telling you the truth and treating you with the respect that you deserve. And now we can see treating your data with the respect that it deserves. Now, I can outline a few things here that I think might be of interest to people who have been affected, which, let's be clear, that's pretty much the entire user base of ESEA, like 1.5 million people affected. So whenever there is a company hack, you as an individual have, if you've been affected, if your data has been breached, you can have the right to pursue legal action and legal remedy. And I'm going to outline some major hacks that were subject to people electing to take legal action against them. So there was a breach of 80 million U.S. households when J.P. Morgan Chase got hacked. There were obviously the Hollywood celebrity photos known as the Fappening, which got put on Reddit, and there was legal action threatened all over the place by those celebrities. I think, Sam, correct me on this one, didn't the individual who was found to have done that, didn't he go to jail?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's
one of them.
I think that was reported recently. Feel free to look that up while I reel off the rest of the list. There was a U.S. Postal Service breach. 800,000 employees had their data compromised. 110 million customer records have been stolen from Target. 145 million eBay users were subject to a data breach. And on it goes. And there was even a weird case that was a landmark in some states with P.F. Chang's restaurants, because credit card and debit card information got out. And I think it also showed that people were being charged just for the right to dine and pay with a credit card, like a stealth tax for that particular service, if you like. I can't remember the specifics, but feel free to Google it yourself. Now, one of the most famous hacks that's happened were the Sony Pictures hack. That made national news. It was all sort of weird, closely linked to that terrible movie, The Interview. People were blaming North Korea and everything else. And basically, there was two former employees that actually took a class action lawsuit, created a class action lawsuit against Sony Pictures because the company had failed to properly secure sensitive employee information, which includes date of birth, but in addition to this, like social security number, salary information, and medical information. What really fucked Sony over was that they kept, and this is hard to believe, you'll love this one, Sam, they actually kept important passwords in an unencrypted Word document.
Fuck off. What, no, for the company?
Legit. Yeah, for employees, yeah. In case they ever needed to access, you know, an employee's
the entire
email.
Database, maybe.
So there was like there was an unencrypted Word document, and sometimes it was very clear to find. It wasn't even hidden, so it wasn't encrypted in any way. But it even had like the heading passwords, so you could like do a Control F search and find it. Right. So that was another reason why they were getting fucked in the ass, and certainly ESEA haven't been as ridiculous as that. It just goes to show these companies don't respect your information a lot of the time, and the only way to make them respect it is to take legal recourse. And it's got to be said that if you look at the numbers, consumer lawsuits based on data breaches don't often succeed. They don't often succeed because you've got to prove, let me get this right, you have to prove harm. That's the first thing. It's not enough to say that you face the potential for harm. You've also got to prove that the data handler was in some way negligent. And then also there has to be, you know, a kind of clearly defined route to compensate you for your, you know, pain and suffering or whatever. So they're incredibly complicated and tricky. But this is a 1.5 million affected users against a company that's already shown complete contempt and utter disdain for their user base in the past. And of course, more crucially, they are a company that operates in a space where we know a lot of malicious activity goes on. We know a lot of esports people are subject to cybercrime, cyber fraud, cyber theft. We know a lot of malicious activity, like the practice of swatting, goes on in our space. It's a unique situation. And it's one that I've got to say, I would urge anybody who believes they've been affected to go and speak to legal counsel. It's incredibly unfortunate, yes, and this is what you should do for housekeeping reasons. Definitely change those passwords. I wouldn't take them at face value that nobody has access to the password. I would definitely check accounts for suspicious activity, absolutely. And I wouldn't do it just up until the 27th. And beyond, right? I would go way back. I'll tell you about another story. You can Google this one. I wrote it for the Daily Dot. It was called "The Man Who Went to War with Riot Games," that went to war with Riot Games, and it was a story about a guy who they breached Riot Games' database and compromised millions of accounts. And they kept a backdoor vulnerability in there so they could go back again and again. They compromised Mark Merrill's personal accounts. They compromised Riot employees' emails. They had all sorts of unprecedented access. And Riot Games' response was to pretend it didn't happen. They didn't even tell the users about it until it got out, because that's Riot Games. So I would not take any company at face value, let alone one in fucking esports. I would go right the way through, have a look, check your junk email, your spam box for people trying to log into your accounts. If you've ever had any strange texts or anything to your number, definitely make a note of all of these. And then once you've done all that and you're confident you're secure moving forward, I'd get on the phone to a lawyer and start talking about, actually, this is this company over here that have had a checkered past. What can we do about it? Because I've said it time and time again, ESEA aren't going to fucking learn. They didn't learn when the court ruled against them and didn't buy their bullshit rogue employee story. In fact, they said that the client hadn't just been used to mine bitcoins, that they had taken private messages and all sorts of other data breaches. This all came out in the court transcript. And LP Kane's response was, "While we paid the fine, we don't recognize that we did anything wrong." It wasn't even an apology or admission of culpability. They are a garbage company. That's why I don't use them. I'm sure they offer a great service. I'm sure you like running around pugging and looking at all your statistics. But they don't give a fuck about you, and they don't give a fuck about your data, evidently. So you might want to factor that into your business decisions, your patronage, because, what's next? What do they have to do? Do they literally have to come round and smash your PC up with a sledgehammer? Are we there yet? So I can't say I'm surprised that this happened, And it's unfortunate for all the users on ESEA. But I think as this story goes on, I think we're probably going to find out that it was probably a very simple exploit, a very simple backdoor, the kind that would happen to, a V-Bulletin forum or something. It's going to be something along those lines. I don't think it's going to be an incredibly sophisticated act of technological wizardry. It's going to be something that if ESEA were on their game, they probably would have found and plugged long before now. And the fact that they had to be told, they're just sitting around, everything's all right. Like, the hacker's probably thinking, someone's going to get in touch with me. Someone's going to message me in a bit about this. Right? It's been however many days now. I guess I'm going to have to call them. Yeah, I hacked you, mate. Did you? All right. Okay. That's the level we're talking about here. So it's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I just wanted to get that out there and just clarify a few things about it. Definitely, if you don't know about it, go read up about what they did with the Bitcoin mining situation. As I said, the article that we showed you there on Esports Heaven, which you can find by just searching for ESEA Minecraft, it was called, in the search engine. You can go up and read up all of the facts there. If you Google it, you'll find it was written about in the BBC. Multiple newspapers picked up the story. But the main thing is just fucking protect yourself moving forward. I imagine ESEA aren't the only company in esports that don't particularly protect your data well. And certainly, if you've been wondering why all these Skype hacks have been happening of late, well, this is why. Because sites like this get compromised. There are password dumps and all ways to socially engineer, methods to get into people's Skype. And when it happens, people's secrets come tumbling out. And certainly that's been damaging to lots of people in the esports space. So thanks very much to ESEA for that. Anyway, we'll keep you up to date with this story as it keeps rolling. But until then, take care, and I'll see you on the next video.